जाए शेषी किशोर किशोरी की जाए। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, राधा माधव जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीर वनचारी, जमुना तीर वनचारी, जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय जय राधा माधव चंद्र बिहारी। यशोदानन्दनं व्रज जनरञ्जनम् यशोदानन्दनं व्रज जनरञ्जनम् यशोदानन्दनं व्रज जनरञ्जनम् यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि वो जय विष्णुपद परमहंस प्रविष्टाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद शिल अभय चरणारण्य भक्ति विरांत स्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य शिल ठाकुर हरिदास की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासारी गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय वृंदावन धाम की जय नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय गंगा देवी की जय यमुना मयी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी रानी की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय इस्कान देवी थी संस्थापक आचार्य श्री भूपाद की जय श्री श्री गौर निधाय की जय श्री जगन्नाथ बलराम सुभद्रा देवी की जय श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की जय गौर भक्त वृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग जय श्री प्रभुपाद हरे कृष्ण It's nice to be back in Chicago and see the familiar faces here. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, chapter 15, entitled The Killing of Dhenuka the ask demon. And today we're on text number 41, correct? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudirayet. Nashta Praeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthaki. Krishne Swadhamo Pagate. Dhanamagyana Adiphisaha. Kalau Nashta Trishamesha. Puranar Kothuno Ditaham. Krishna Kamala Patraksha. Punyashravana Kirtanaham. Stuyamano Nugair Gopaihi. Sagrajo Vrajamavrajat. Krishna Kamala Patraksha. Punyashravana Kirtanaham. Stuyamano Nugair Gopaihi. Sagrajo Vrajamavrajat. Krishna Kamala Patraksham. Punyashravana Kirtanaham. Stuyamano Nugair Gopaihi. Sagrajo Vrajamavrajat. Krishna Kamala Patraksha. Punyashravana Kirtanaha. Stuyamano Nugair Gopaihi. Sagrajo Vrajamavrajat. Krishna Kamala Patraksha. Punyashravana Kirtanaham. Stuyamano Nugair Gopaihi. Sagrajo Vrajamavrajat. Krishna Kamala Patraksha. Punyashravana Kirtanaham. Stuyamano Nugair Gopaihi. Sagrajo Vrajamavrajat. Krishna Kamala Patraksha. Punyashravana Kirtanaham. Stuyamano Nugair Gopaihi. Sagrajo Vrajamavrajat. Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna, Kamalapatra Aksha, whose eyes are like lotus petals, Punyashravana Kirtanaham, hearing and chanting about whom is the most pious activity. Stuyamana, being glorified, Anugaihi, by his followers, Gopaihi, the cowherd boys, Saagrajaha, together with his elder brother, Balaram, Vrajam to Vraja, Avrajata, he returned. Translation. Then, lotus-eyed Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories are most pious to hear and chant, returned home to Vraja with his elder brother, Balaram. Along the way, the cowherd boys, his faithful followers, chanted his glories. Please repeat. Then, lotus-eyed Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories are most pious to hear and chant, returned home to Vraja with his elder brother, Balaram. Along the way, the cowherd boys, his faithful followers, chanted his glories. Purport. When the glories of Sri Krishna are vibrated, both the speakers and the hearers are purified and become pious. Om Jnanati Manantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savasutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Kamala Patrakshaha, Punya Shravana Kirtanaha, Stuyamano Nugayar Gopaihi, Sagrajo Vrajam Avrajat. Krishnaha. Kamala Patraksha. Krishna has lotus eyes, like the petals of a lotus. The petals of a lotus tend to be a little bit pinkish at the ends. And one end is rounded and soft, the other end is sharp. Krishna's eyes look like this. And his eyes extend, his eyes are very large, as described as well. And this Krishna, lotus-eyed Krishna, stuyamana anugaihi gopaihi, was being glorified by his faithful followers, the gopas. That glorification, any glorification of Krishna, is punya-shravana-kirtanaha. Punya-shravana-kirtana. So, Sa Agrajo, along with his elder brother, Balaram, Vrajamavrajat. In the last line, we see the literary device known as Anupras. You repeat the same sound again and again. Graja, Vraja, Avraja. So this is, Bhagavatam is all is consummate poetry. So we've heard already from the third canto, Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana katha. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam from really good association, Prakrishna Sangat, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. Prasanga means Prakrishna Sangha. Prakrishna means very special devotees. When we hear from advanced devotees, then that katha becomes like medicinal nectar, rasayana. And if you know Ayurveda, rasayana, sometimes you get medicines in the form of rasayana. And this rasayana is very special because it not only pleases the heart, it even pleases the ear. So we've mentioned already this verse, simple verse, but it has very beautiful literary devices throughout, actually. Every verse of the Bhagavatam is like this. So it's very pleasing to the ear. And more so, it's pleasing to the heart. Why? Bhavanti hrit karna rasayana katha. Because it's medicinal. We all are suffering from the material disease. What is the hridroga? What is the heart disease that we all suffer from? Our hearts are infected with what? Huh? Ignorance? Yes. Kama, krodha, lobha, mada, moha, matsarya, ityadi. Particularly it said lust, because that is the number one enemy, especially in the modern world. I just came from New York City, and all over Manhattan, somebody has seen fit to display in prominent public places very aggressive propaganda glorifying homosexuality, because it's not enough to have sex in the modern day and age in any normal conventional way, because they've overindulged and it's no longer appealing. So now they have to try something new, so they're thinking of going for the same sex. Of course, it's not really new. These things are there from the beginning of creation, but socially it has become very much glorified to the extent that it is also socially acceptable. Never in my life have I ever seen a billboard showing two men passionately kissing one another in the subway of New York. So that's a new thing. But anyway, this is the heart disease. Kama, krodha, lobha, lust, anger, greed, these three in particular Krishna singles out as being the gates that lead to hell. And mada moha matsarya, they're not far behind. Mada means the intoxication. What kind of any kind of intoxication, but especially the intoxication of pride. Because, after all, sex life can hardly arise unless there's an atmosphere of pride to give it shelter. As the Christian Bible says, pride precedes the fall. You don't fall down unless you're already puffed up. So mada, and that in itself is moha, illusion, bewilderment. Bewilderment particularly of our memory. We all have memory. We have memory of being Krishna conscious. That's why when we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, we recognize pratyabhijna. The Kashmir Shaivas have this nice word. Recognition, prati abhijna. We recognize, yes, I know this already, this is true. Therefore, it's pleasing to the heart. When you hear something that rings true, it's pleasing to the heart. So, mada moha matsarya. Only this matsarya, or envy of the Lord, it keeps us from this appreciation. And it ensnares us with all these other, they're called shatadis, six enemies that we have to fight constantly. If we're intelligent, if we're not intelligent, we just surrender outright. And we waste our human form of life by surrendering to these six enemies, and at the time of death, like all criminals, were carried off for the appropriate treatment. So that's material existence. But this wonderful Krishna Katha, the effect of chanting Krishna Katha, is medicinal, rasayana. It cures us of this hridroga, the disease of materialistic infection within our hearts. And we're, as a result of that, we're very quickly placed on the path to liberation. Apavarga Vartma. Vartma means path. And what does apavarga mean? First of all, what does pavarga mean? Material existence. And why is it called pavarga? Varga means a line. In Sanskrit alphabet, there's the fifth line of the Sanskrit alphabet begins with pa. Pa, pa, ba, bha, ma. If you don't believe me, you can look it up for yourself at the end of any of Prabhupada's Bhagavatams. The alphabet is given there. So look at the fifth one, you'll see. Pa, pa, ba, bha, ma. Parishram. Pa stands for parishram. What does parishram mean? Hard work. You have to work hard. It's easier to work here in America than it is in India. In India, they really drive you like slaves if you're working for any company. That's why people prefer to work onshore. I think India is maybe the only company in the world that considers that you're onshore when you're in somebody else's country. And you're offshore when you're in your own country. But they have that conception, which is very revealing, isn't it? It says a lot about the Indian psychology. Anyway, so they work too hard. Parishram, how hard do we work in this material world? Pa, what does pa stand for? Anybody know? Pena. Pena means, or fena means, you're foaming at the mouth. Really hard. We don't take tangas anymore. We take electric rickshaws or auto rickshaws or something like that. But used to be that when you would go from Mathura Junction to Vrindavan, you would have to take a tanga. Tanga is a cart with a horse or a donkey attached. And that horse, trotting at full speed in the hot sun, especially at this time of year, he gets very tired very fast. So halfway they would have a trough of water, and the horses would have to drink water because they're foaming at the mouth. And we're doing just like that. Srila Prabhupada said, these animals, they're trotting about on four legs, and we are trotting about on four wheels. But we're basically working hard for the same thing. Why is the horse willing to do what he's doing? Because he knows he'll be fed and sheltered if he does this. And this is why we do this as well. Because we know we will be fed, we will be sheltered. And we can have a place for sex life. And then, of course, we have to defend all those rights, human rights. Even if your sex life becomes absolutely perverse and disgusting to any civilized person, still you present it in a very aggressive propaganda campaign as if it were your civil right. So, this is material existence, pavarga, pa-pa, working hard, foaming at the mouth, and what do you get as a result? Ba stands for? Anybody know? Bandha, bandhana, you're bound, because everything you do in this world is going to have a particular reaction. You may think that nobody's seeing. Of course, nowadays, it's 2019. Now we know that everybody sees everything we do. But, even if whatever you do, whatever you feel that you're doing in secret, it's not a secret. It's being recorded. There are at least 13 witnesses above the human level, and there are many others, believe me, on the human level who are also watching what you're doing. I think it's Edward Snowden said the smartphone is a sophisticated surveillance device that happens to make phone calls also. So, what to speak of the opiate of the people? Again, I was in the subway in New York City And every single head was down, you know, doing something on the cell phone, completely transfixed, and all their activities were being monitored, as if we were more free than they are in China. If you know about Chinese situation nowadays, the Chinese government is very carefully monitoring every conversation every citizen everywhere has. And they have a point system. And if you express too much religious fervor, or too much faith, or if you're in any way displeasing to the government, then you get demerits. You lose points. It's like, here we do it economically, it's called a credit score. Experian or what, one of these companies will, you know, keep records on you like that. But in China, even if you express too much faith in God in a way that the government is no longer comfortable with, then you're apt to be abducted and sent off to a, what do they call it? I mean, we call it concentration camps, unless we do it here, which we did in World War II. But they call it, I think, vocational training centers. Re-education centers, where your warped mindset is adjusted so that you no longer think of such perverse things as God anymore. This is the irony of Pavarga. All right, so anyway, real point is this. Bandhana, you get bound up. Every action has a reaction, and you're going to have to deal with that at some point in the future. At the time of death, when you're pulled out of your body, whether you like to go or not, then, you know, eventually someone will tap you on the shoulder and say, excuse me, sir, we need to discuss your account. You have some karmic debits here that you need to be adjusted. Or you've got some karmic credits, how would you like to, you know, receive those credits? So this is bandhana. We're bound up. Nobody's free. It's an illusion, if anybody thinks he's free. Land of the free. Nobody's free here. Or anywhere else. So, pa, pa, ba, bha. What does bha stand for? That's the easy one. Huh? Bhaya, fear. Bhiti means the same thing. So, because we're not sure what's happening, we don't know if the government is happy with what we're doing, or here it's not government, here it's businesses. If we're not sure if they're happy with what we're doing, we don't know what's going to happen next. And even if we please everyone, near impossibility, then still, the very nature of this place is that there's always a challenge. These threefold miseries are inexorable. Inexorable. Srila Prabhupada uses this word. It means you can't get around it. Daivi hiesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Krishna says, it's like a fort. Durga. Durgama. You can't go very easily out of here. Devamrita Swami compares this to a prison escape. If there's a prison break, a prisoner is trying to get out of the prison, then immediately all the resources of the security in that prison are going to be focused very intently on finding this guy and catching him before he can escape. So this is what Maya is like. And Prabhupada therefore rightly said, to try to become Krishna conscious in this world is to declare war on Maya. And if you declare war on anybody, you can expect to fight. It's not going to be easy. Therefore, it's fearful. What is the next strategy? The enemy in any war is never going to tell you what they're going to do. It's going to be a surprise attack. And this is how Maya works. Oh, you get a letter in the mail. Oh, this is your test results. You have stage 4 glioblastoma. Can happen. It has happened. It happened to my sister. So, ba 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 ba, fear. And even if you can tolerate those things, working so hard that you foment mouth, you get bound as a result in your next life, you're going somewhere you probably don't want to go, and you're fearful at every step, even if you can tolerate all that, what's the last thing? Ma, what does it stand for? Mrityu. You die. So this is Pavarga, but for the devotees who are glorifying Krishna, in good association, remember we said special advanced association, that glorification takes on a special potency that you don't find otherwise. That glorification in good association, as Srila Rupa Goswami writes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srimad Bhagavad Arthanam Aswado Rasikaisaha, relishing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam in what kind of association? With rasikas, devotees who have a real deep taste. They know rasa, they appreciate rasa, they taste the rasa, they enjoy in this way. When you hear Srimad Bhagavatam in that association, then you get this bhavanti hrit karna rasayana. It becomes like a sweet medicine, sweet elixir that purifies and purifies the heart and pleases the ear. And you're very quickly, easily, effortlessly, through that easy process, you're placed on the path of liberation beyond all this bha-bha-bha-bha-ma. So, and you go through stages. Shraddha, Rati, Bhakti. Three stages are mentioned by Kapila Dev to his mother in 3rd Canto, Chapter 25, Text 25. Shraddha is what? Faith. Vishvasa, Jiva Goswami says. He defines it. Trust. Trust is a difficult thing nowadays, isn't it? We don't trust anybody. You can't trust anybody. It's valid. But we can trust Krishna. We can trust a bona fide spiritual master. And with that trust, when we invest that trust in good association, sadhu sangha, what is sadhu sangha? Sajati ashaye snigdhau. I forget just now. Sadhu sangha svatovare. It is association of a person who is like me, similar enough to me that I can relate easily, but who is unlike me in that his faith is much deeper than mine is. This is the association we have to seek. An impious person cannot find more advanced association. And a Kanishta Adhikari, who is inexperienced, Kanishta means youngest, neophyte, that person also has a hard time finding more advanced association. Just like it's described that story, somebody asked Duryodhan, you know, to find somebody who is more advanced than him and to find somebody who is less advanced than him. And he was not able to find anyone more advanced than himself. So we have this tendency when we're neophytes or when we're envious also. Yes, yes, he may be a high court judge, but I'm sure they're not paying him anything. This is envy. How does Sridhar Swami define envy in the first canto? Parodkarsha asahya. It becomes intolerable to see someone else shine. Parodkarsha, utkarsha, utkrishta, prakrishta. When you see a person who is like this, very excellent and very advanced, and we feel that this is intolerable, that is the surefire sign of envy, definite sign of envy, according to Sridhar Swami. Okay. So, Shraddharatir Bhaktir Anukramishti, in that kind of good association, what happens? You're automatically engaged in Bhajanakriya, and from Bhajanakriya, the anarthas come out. What is that Bhajanakriya? It's described here. Punya Shravana Kirtana. It's not only described here, it's described elsewhere as where? As well. Who knows where that's described? Famous. 1217. Now, here we, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we're discussing 8 or 9 stages that Rupa Goswami elaborates, beginning with Shraddha, Adau Shraddha. Faith, association, Bhajanakriya, Anartha Nivritti, and then what happens? Will you become fixed? Ruchi Upajai, or Asakti, you get attached, you develop Bhava Bhakti, and finally Prema Bhakti, in 9 stages. In his commentary on, I think it's text 18 of the same chapter, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he expands that list, actually. He gives 14 stages that we should go through. As we mentioned already in the third canto, chapter 25, there's only three of those stages mentioned, Shraddharati and Bhakti. But however you want to analyze it, the fact of the matter is that we have to go through Anartha-Nivritti, and that is where Punya Shravana Kirtana comes into play. Punya, what does Punya mean? Piety. What kind of piety? Spiritual piety? Mundane piety? Which of these is affected by Shravana Kirtana? Huh? Spiritual piety, we say this because that is our purpose. But in fact, you get all piety by hearing and chanting about Krishna. And believe it or not, that's actually a problem. Because although we need to be pious in order to sustain a mature commitment to pure devotional service, as Krishna confirms in chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita, text number 28, that piety is necessary in order to remain in nishtha bhakti. But at a certain point, it can actually produce anarthas as well. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned certain kinds of anarthas. Bhakti unmukhi anarthas. Anarthas that arise out of bhakti itself. Believe it or not, bhakti produces the anarthas that threaten itself. Because it is punya shravana kirtana. You get all material perfection. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us, sadhu sanga, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sanga, sarva siddhi hoi. What kind of siddhi? Sarva siddhi. That means everything. People sometimes come to the sadhus, they just want blessings for their material lives because the sadhu can actually give that also. There's a story, once Srila Prabhupada was in a train, and some gentleman figured out that Srila Prabhupada was in the train, in the next compartment. This is in India. So they came to get his blessings, and they came in, Swamiji, we want to take your blessings. And Prabhupada said, yes, what kind of blessings do you want? And they were dumbfounded, because they'd never thought of it before. Nobody ever asked them to think about what they're doing. Why? Because, as I found out a few years ago in Satangulam, Tamil Nadu, we were doing a program in one Christian village, and a number of Hindus came to the village, or came to the program, and they were listening with rapt attention. In the beginning, there was 30 or 40 curious villagers, and by the end of the program, there was 200 or 300 of them completely locked on and listening with rapt attention, because they'd never heard anything like Krishna consciousness before. Believe it or not. And one man came forward and said, we're Hindus, we want to be Hindus, but nobody's ever told us what it means to be a Hindu. This is why these gentlemen who met Srila Prabhupada, they were kind of caught off guard when Prabhupada asked them, what kind of blessings do you want? They never thought about it. All they know is that sadhu can give you blessings. So then Prabhupada said, okay, I give you my blessings that you can become shaven-headed like these men in saffron. And the men very quickly disappeared. They were not interested in that kind of blessing. But actually, they were thinking, you know, maybe if Swamiji gives us his blessings, then maybe we can get our daughters married, and maybe we can have enough money to buy the new Tesla. In those days, they didn't have Teslas in India. They only had ambassadors. But this kind of thing. So, actually, bhakti can produce even mundane piety, which is both good and bad. This is one of many, 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 many reasons that we require the personal guidance of a bona fide guru. Because when the anarthas come up, then we don't know how to identify them when we're young in Krishna consciousness, and it can be dangerous. Anyway, so Punya Shravana Kirtana, as far as we are concerned, it's the kind of thing that has been described elsewhere in this chapter. I'll read, for example, from text number 3, another famous verse from the 14th chapter of Lord Brahma's prayers. Sanatana Goswami has explained the words Tanuvang Manobhi in reference to devotees. Through their body, mind, and words, they are able to conquer Lord Krishna. Thus, becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness, they can touch his lotus feet with their hands, call to him to come with their words, and attain his direct audience with their mind, simply by thinking about him. Now, in Kali Yuga, you don't see God, you hear him. Mantra Murtim Amurtikam is described in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this all transpires for us simply by the easy process of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. With our words, we're calling for the Lord to come. And because the Lord has already come in the form of his holy name, with our minds, we can very easily think of him if we but focus. Focus. Focus means dhyana in Sanskrit. What does dhyana mean? The word dhyana. Dhyan. Anybody know? Huh? Not dhyana, dhyana, D-H. Meditation, we say. It actually means focus. Just like when the sun's rays, which are dissipated throughout the sky, are pulled together and focused through a magnifying glass and pinpointed on one spot of dry grass, you can start a fire that way. So focus has great power. And when we chant this Maha Mantra, the most powerful mantra, with focus, you can understand what the result will be. You will get the supreme, you'll get the Mahaprapti. the great mantra will give you the great result. So we do this. And that is considered to be, in this age, tantamount to touching the lotus feet of the Lord. So that's one thing that is mentioned here. Elsewhere in this 10th canto, we have the benediction given at the end of chapter 14, which says, any person who hears and chants these pastimes Lord Murari performed with his cowherd friends, including the killing of Akhasura, taking of lunch on the forest grass, the Lord's manifestation of transcendental forms, and the wonderful prayers offered by Lord Brahma, is sure to achieve all his spiritual desires. The words used for that are Akhila Artha. Artha. What does Artha mean? Your purpose. Or the meaning. Something that has value. That is Artha. So Akhila Artha. You will get all meaning, all purpose, all value by hearing and chanting these pastimes. According to Srila Sanatana Goswami, even one who is only inclined to hear and chant the pastimes of Lord Krishna will achieve spiritual perfection. You have only to think and to desire that, and eventually you will. Just like it's described by Srila Rupa Goswami, if anyone only wants to bathe in the Yamuna and doesn't actually make it there to do so physically, but only has that desire, then you get all auspiciousness. So in the same way, by bathing in the nectarian current of Krishna Katha, we get all desires fulfilled. Now, in chapter 15, text number 6, the word is used, Akhila Loka Tirtham, the most pure thing in all the worlds. One meaning of the word, Tirtha, is the means for crossing beyond material existence. Simply by hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord, or by chanting them, one immediately comes to the spiritual platform beyond material existence. Thus, the Lord's transcendental glories are here described as a tirtha for everyone in the world. So this is why Krishna Katha is called Punya Shravana Kirtana. In Bhagavad Gita we know the four seed verses of Bhagavad Gita. Anybody know those? One of them, mat chitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. A person, Krishna says, who is always chanting my glories in the association of great souls. These are the characteristics of the spiritual world. Matchitta, their minds are fixed on me. Madgata prana, their lives are given over to my service. Bodhayanta parasparam, they're enlightening one another, exchanging their realizations in Krishna consciousness. And katayanta shamam nityam, they're also glorifying me. Katayanti means sankirtana, they're glorifying Krishna in various ways. So what about those people? What did they get? Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Tushyanti means they're satisfied. Ramanti means they enjoy. What's the difference between being satisfied and enjoying? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says they're satisfied in the sadhana stage, even before they have perfection, because they have the opportunity to achieve perfection through that sadhana. Jabalagatana mantapana vyape tabalagakari hari seva, one Hindi poet said. While you have the chance, take advantage of this process of hearing and chanting, which is punya shravana kirtana, because you will not always have this chance. You will lose this chance sooner or later, at least at death, and maybe even before that. So while you have the chance, show your gratitude for the fact that Srila Prabhupada stayed up all night by candlelight in the sweltering heat of Vrindavan, in the freezing winter of Vrindavan in the late 1950s, writing these books only for us to hear. 50 years later, half a century later, we're here by his divine grace. Show your gratitude and hear regularly and appreciate that we have the opportunity to do so. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this is what is meant by tushyanti. Devotees, pure devotees, are satisfied to have this facility to come to Mangalarti or associate with devotees. And that's in the sadhaka stage. And in the siddha stage, when they're actually gone back to Godhead, ramanticha, then they enjoy directly their pastimes with Lord Krishna. So this is the great benefit of punya shravana kirtana. Another thing is that it's always recommended that we hear and chant with the devotees. It's much more efficacious. We've already discussed that to some degree, but also it's described by commentators on that verse, Satam Prasangan verse, that when we come into the association of pure devotees, our faith is awakened. How is our faith awakened? By seeing what is their character, by hearing the kinds of natural, spontaneous, and deep, and heartfelt, and genuine, profound discussions that they have about Krishna consciousness among themselves. Bodhayanta parasparam, as we've described already. They hear this and they think, "What? Why are they so into this? What are they talking about? Maybe I should hear something also." In this way, a desire to hear arises. And when we have the desire to hear, then we gradually get purified in this way. Therefore, it's called punya shravana kirtan. We become one of them. We become also great souls like this. So that's a great topic of discussion. We can analyze the details of how this taste for hearing arises. It's been analyzed in various ways by different acharyas commenting on that section of the Bhagavatam, as well as on the first canto, chapter 2, those five verses that begin with text 16. Jiva Goswami says they form a set that illustrate how exactly the anarthas are weeded out of our hearts and we get a taste for Krishna consciousness. But for now, I think I'm going to stop, unless anyone has any questions. There's only a one sentence purport, and it's a general statement, but we can discuss if anybody sees a need. Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mukundadatta Prabhu. It's wonderful to have you back and hear your beautiful presentation. looking forward for the kirtans too. The explanations that you give in terms of punyan shravanam kirtanam, I was thinking about what you explained on that verse that you quoted, that the special, that one have to hear and chant in association, very special association, meaning with advanced devotees. And when we come to the application, to obviously to have the effectiveness of the purification of the heart, we have to apply these instructions very nicely. So the application is very important. So if you can expand a little bit on the application in regular situations. Suppose we devotees, we come together and we hear regularly together, but we may not think, okay, we have the association of advanced devotees, you know, once a while, but in general, it's just regular devotees, us. So what is exactly a special association, and how we apply a special association that we know we applying it properly in a daily basis, shravanam, punyan shravanam kirtanam, you know, like that?
You have fallen into my trap. I said that particularly to evoke this kind of question. And probably Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also mentions that in order to make us think about it. So Prakrishna Sangat, he mentions that the same effect of this Krishna Katha becoming very sweet, relishable, you know, dear to the heart and to the ear as well. He said it doesn't necessarily happen that the ruchi or the desire to hear more arises unless the person who is speaking has faith that's deeper than ours. And that's why Rupa Goswami, we can assume, that's why Rupa Goswami qualifies that we have to hear the meanings, plural meanings, of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of rasikas, devotees who have that very deep appreciation. Now, having said that, we shouldn't just capitulate and say, well, I don't have any advanced association, because that is not true. That is not true at all. I'm speaking from my personal experience of almost, you know, 50 years in Krishna consciousness. Pretty much anyone who chants Hare Krishna and reads from Srila Prabhupada's books and follows this process to a conventional degree, pretty much anyone will have great jewels within their hearts. And it's just up to us to find that. Sometimes Tamal Krishna Goswami used to explain that when we are not satisfied with our association in Krishna consciousness, there are three things that we can possibly do. He said the first thing and the best thing, the absolute number one priority, is to learn how to better associate, better appreciate the association that we've been given. That should be obvious why we should do that, but the fact of the matter is that not a blade of grass waves in the breeze without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And for that reason, we can assume that we've been placed into the particular association that we currently have because there's something for us to benefit from it. There's always something. We can learn something from just about anyone, even if we can't learn everything from just about anyone. You understand my meaning. So, you know, the what takes work on our own part is to become respectful enough and eager enough, sincere enough, that we learn how to mine these jewels that are hidden within pretty much anyone's heart. Why is this guy washing pots in the Hare Krishna temple? What is it that motivates him? Let me find that out. For what other purpose did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come to this world? He seeks out every little trace of Hladini Shakti, wherever it manifests. And it is there, pervasive. throughout all the hearts of the devotees, Tarnamasya Tattvasya Nihitam Guhayam. So that's the best thing. If we can better learn to appreciate whatever association we've been given, we will surprise ourselves at how much we can benefit from that association. The second option, he used to say, is that, you know, if we're still not satisfied with whatever association we already have, then we can be proactive and proactively seek out whatever association we feel we need. It's never been easier to do than it is in 2019, because everybody carries around this phone and you just push a button and you're there, Mayapur TV, or you're listening Vrindavan Kirtan, or you can even, if not that, then you can personally go. Better, you go and find some satsanga that you can appreciate. The sadhu sangha retreat going on somewhere, or some mela going on somewhere. You can do that. Or you can look and see, what is the character of the sadhus that I know about, that I've heard about, that I've seen, and move closer and associate with those devotees more closely to hear about Krishna consciousness and to get inspiration. It will come. Definitely these two usually work. But if for some reason still it's not working out, and this was Srila Prabhupada's own experience, mind you, he found that his godbrothers were not very serious about following the orders of their spiritual master. And he found that they were also very serious about fighting one another. And, you know, that's something that we see in 2019 also, isn't it? I mean, sometimes it seems as if ISKCON is not less fractious than was the Gaudi Math in the end of the 1930s. So then he says you can create the association that you need, but you need potency to do that. Just like you cannot create a business, successful business, out of nothing. You require some capital, you see? So that third option is not, you know, it's a third option for a reason. It's the last resort. But it was the example of Srila Prabhupada. So, you know, really the best thing is that we learn how to appreciate what we can learn from someone. This is why the devotees are called hamsas, or when they're really adept, they're called paramahamsas. What is the nature of the swan? The swan is able to separate milk from water, and the devotee should be able to do that. Is there any devotee that you see anywhere, he's sincere sadhaka chanting Hare Krishna? Don't bother with the ones who are obviously not sincere, but you take his association and try to glean whatever you can from it. And understand that I can learn some things from this person, but not necessarily everything from this person. That's important as well. This discrimination is the key word of Madhyam Adhikar. Now, in today's society, discrimination is usually used pejoratively, but actually discrimination is a very important skill that a devotee has to have. You cannot, I mean, some devotees can harm you. Some devotees will benefit you, but you have to be careful about others. This is discussed in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't know that unless we read the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But Srila Kapila Dev delineates all varieties of mixed devotional service and mixed devotees. We have to discriminate to know whose association can benefit me and whose association can hurt me. So these are a few things to consider. Is that okay? Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for blessing us with your presence in Chicago once again. Thank you. You pretty much answered my question in answering, but I guess I'll kind of share two pastimes I was going to share with you in regards and ask kind of like another question aspect of that. Regarding appreciating whatever association you have, there's two pastimes that kind of, maybe you could maybe confirm or deny with the lesson, but two lessons I really appreciate, I try to keep in mind is, two pastimes that show us what to do and what not to do, where Srivas Thakur, he's hearing Bhagavatam from Devananda Pandit.
Yes.
And Lord Chaitanya says this is the wrong person to hear from. But Srivas was in such bliss from hearing Bhagavatam. He was at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person. But because he had the right mentality, maybe gratitude, he was always in bliss. On the other hand, we see pastimes like Ramachandrapuri, he's associating with Madhvendrapuri. And all the Vaishnavas, Rasika Vaishnavas, including Lord Chaitanya, obviously, he was at the right place at the right time with the right people, but because he had the wrong mentality, ingratitude, speculation, so many things, he couldn't appreciate Krishna Katha. Now, my question is, one point out regarding is that you said sometimes certain association will hurt you, and sometimes...
Sometimes what?
Certain association will hurt you,
yes.
And certain association will help you.
Yeah.
But there's really one valuable quote that I appreciate Bhakti Siddhanta says. This is from the Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav. The chapter is called The Revolutionary Preacher of Truth. And Bhakti Siddhanta says something very profound. I really appreciate it. He says, when Bhagavan is merciful to me, he will send unlimited people to speak sour words to me just to teach me tolerance.
Yeah.
And the reason I appreciate that is because we hear the qualities we're supposed to cultivate, humility, tolerance, forgiveness. One thing I try to share with devotees all the time, it's something comical I share with devotees. I was like, just think about it. These qualities, a rich teenager will never go to his rich father. My dear father, I forgive you for giving me a Mercedes-Benz for my birthday. I'll tolerate my $50 million inheritance. So my question is that, thank you, I'm glad she thought it was funny. But my question is, what we think is bad association actually gives us the greatest opportunity to cultivate these qualities, and people who are simply complimenting us actually increases our ego and inertia. So how can we really distinguish between what is good and what is bad?
This is a good point. There's a nice verse. There's a Sanskrit verse to the same effect. There's also a Bhajapasha verse that describes the same thing, but the poet is writing that, you know, if I look up, I see Srimati Radharani. If I look down, I see Srimati Radharani. Left and right, only Radha. Ahead of me, behind me, Radharani. In all the, in every direction, there's only Srimati. Sarvam Kaluidam Radha. This is the Vaishnava vision. You know, the Mayavadi will say Sarvam Kaluidam Brahma. Everything is absolute truth, Brahma. But the Vaishnava sees that everything is Srimati Radharani. Everything is connected to devotional service. So if a devotee is expert enough, he will connect. He will connect those dots, and he will derive benefit, as we were saying, even out of association that may otherwise seem to be less favorable. It's true. One has to be careful with this. That's why we have gurus again. Gurus should be able to guide us through that process. And this is why it's imperative that whatever the spiritual master orders, we have to follow. We have to surrender to it, whether we like it or not. Is that okay? Anything else? If not, then we'll stop here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.